All right. Expecting Mike Tannenbaum here in a few minutes, so maybe we could sneak in some headlines first with Solana, and then when Mike Tannenbaum calls in, Solana will get all panicked, and he'll say, I have to answer the phone, or he'll just disappear. I always enjoy that when that happens. I will give you the stock market update real quick here. Market's still open for another minute or two, but Dow Jones Industrial Average up 175 points. S&P 500 up 20 points, NASDAQ up 100 points, 102 points. So another positive day on Wall Street. How about that? All right. As we await Mike Tannenbaum, former GM of the Dolphins and the ESPN front office insider, let us get some quick headlines from Alejandro Solana.
So the big news today, guys, after an extreme high that Hawk experienced at the top of the hour or at the top of the show. Five-star defensive tackle Leonard Taylor. He commits to the University of Miami.
Talk about it.
And then an extreme low.
What?
The antithesis of an extreme high, which is Gregory Rousseau. I don't even think it's arguable, right? UM's best player?
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly best defensive player. I mean, but I would argue best player, yes.
He opts out of the 2020 college football season.
It's a low, but it's not, you know, it's more of a positive day, I think, for Hurricanes because, you know, obviously you want to be able to have a team that you're going to be able to root for seasons, and you want to know that you're getting the good local commits, and Leonard Taylor is that. And I think most Hurricanes fans just feel good for Gregory Rousseau. You'd love to see him out there, you know, sacking Trevor Lawrence or doing whatever he's going to do. But you feel good for him, too.
Hawk, I don't know. But I'm with you on your assessment, but I don't know if Leonard Taylor can offset losing Gregory Rousseau.
It does not. No. It definitely does not. You just lost your best player. There's no – yeah. There's no question.
Proven All-American, yep. Yes. Yep. And we don't know what Leonard's going to do. And his name is Leonard, so we have to question that already.
But you
Only
feel
good. Leonard
good.
Is Leonard number six.
You feel good. For Gregory Rousseau, it's not like losing him via transfer portal. He's going to the NFL. So you know what I mean? If you feel good for that. All right, Mike Tannenbaum is there. So quickly finish up your headlines, whatever you need to do, Solana. We'll get to Mike.
The Miami Heat, they'll play the Bucks. That's about to get underway here with a 4:10 schedule tip-off. No Jimmy Butler. And the Marlins, they'll play versus the Orioles tonight, 7:35 p.m. Jordan Yamamoto gets the nod for the Fish.
Looking to get a four-game sweep in Baltimore. All right, anything in the weather category, or we can move on?
We can move on. Don't want to waste Mike's time with the weather here in Miami.
All right, fair enough. We'll go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. So, Mike Tannenbaum, I'm currently NFL front office insider at ESPN. At one point, as we all know, he was the front office for the Miami Dolphins, GM for the Dolphins. The Jets at one point also in his career. He's joining us now. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good to be with you.
Good to have you on. I was expecting, and we figured, you know, the deadline, the opt-out deadline being 4 o'clock right about now for the NFL, I was expecting maybe to see some big, startling names today. We didn't get any of that, right? There wasn't – I'm not missing anything here, right?
Not that I know of. You know, the only other name of consequence was Tre'Davious White, the all-pro corner for the Buffalo Bills, but – I have not seen anything in the last hour that would say that he was opting out, but that was the one name that was still up in the air.
All right, so the ones that we know for the Miami Dolphins, Allen Hurns a couple days ago and Albert Wilson yesterday. And so I guess I'll start here with the realities of what we're all dealing with right now. And Crowder and I were just talking about Gregory Rousseau from UM opting out for the season, so he'll go to the NFL the following season. Do you think there's going to be an uninterrupted 16-game season in the NFL this year, and it starts in just 6 weeks? Does it seem plausible to you?
I think when it's all said and done, we're going to have a meaningful NFL season. We'll have a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. I think it could look a little bit different. Maybe it's 12 games. Maybe it's 14. I think there will be bumps in the road. I think the league and the union have done a reasonably good job given the circumstances, but just like with MLB guys, we're going to see things unfold that are going to be challenges, and I think it's going to be how we respond to it as a league, will be consequential. So I think it'll be a meaningful season. Not quite sure if we'll see all 16 games, but I think we'll look back and say, like, that was a good year of football in this very unusual environment.
And Mike, you've been a part of, you've been upstairs. You're looking down, watching the guys, watching OTAs, watching the mini camps, seeing the guys develop. It was your job, you know, to see your players develop. How much does this hurt a team missing the OTAs, missing the camps, all I just talked about? How much is this going to hurt the production or the quality of football early in the season when not having these off-season training facilities and off-season workouts with the coaching staff?
Yeah, Chan, it's a great point. We were just talking about this on NFL Live. You know, a lot of the football world is looking to opening day and Tom Brady of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints. And Drew Brees and Sean Payton have been together for over 12,000 snaps together. Tom Brady and Bruce Arians have been together for zero. That is hugely consequential when you think about walkthroughs and scrimmages and joint practices and preseason games. Tom Brady literally has not taken a play for Bruce Arians in his helmet. And just identifying the mic or the protections or audibles, all those little nuances are so consequential because these games are so close. It's going to take a while. And I look at teams like Tampa Bay, they're going to be a big work in progress. And teams that have the same head coach and the same quarterback will have a huge advantage, especially early on.
Mike Tannenbaum is with us from ESPN. If we can extrapolate that out to the Dolphins, then if you're in charge of the Dolphins still and Tua Tagovailoa is your first round pick and he is going to be the quarterback of the future, do you play him early or do you keep him on the shelf for the entire season if possible?
Yeah, I think it really goes for all the first round quarterbacks, you know, Tua, Justin Herbert of the Chargers. Certainly, you know, Jordan Love presumably is going to sit in Green Bay and presumably Joe Burrow is going to start in Cincinnati. But I think we have to really proceed with caution with all these guys because, again, it's really unfair. You know, when you think about Miami in particular, Ryan Fitzpatrick goes back years and years and years with Ken Gailey going back to Buffalo. So we're talking about years behind. You know, just in terms of, you know, what Tua knows and understands about the offense. So I would bring him along slowly, making sure that he's ready to go, knows the offense. Again, can make all the little finer touches of the checks, the adjustments, know what to look for. And you don't have to rush him because, again, Ryan Fitzpatrick played very well for the Dolphins last year. So it's not like you have to just throw Tua in there.
And, Mike, about these opt-outs, too, you hit on a little bit earlier, but I wanted to ask you, you were the president of operations, like you were the upstairs. We called you upstairs and we were downstairs, the players and the coaches, but y'all were upstairs. Upstairs, y'all are so used to season ends, you know, your free agents hit, and then you have your new NFL season start, Mike. You have your draft. Like, y'all are so used to this for 70 years, the same thing. What are these players opting out right now, today? Like, it just passed at 4 o'clock. How much has this changed the approach of the organization, the GMs, having players opt out of this time, not knowing if you're starting corner, starting quarterback, starting tight end, not knowing what they're going to do? How much has this changed the approach of the upstairs guys of an organization?
Yeah, absolutely. This year, very much so. I think your plans have to be very sort of flexible just in terms of, again, we're going to see players and coaches candidly, you know, test positive. Let's go to the NFC East for a second, guys. If we were talking 10 days ago, we would be saying what a massive advantage the Philadelphia Eagles have. They're the only team of the four that have the same quarterback and the same head coach of the four teams. Now, Doug Peterson can't come into the facility, and Deuce Staley is in charge and taking nothing away from Deuce Staley. But, you know, 10 days ago, Philadelphia has a big lead. Now they're behind because their head coach is unavailable. And I think, again, it's going to be a fascinating season because certain players are going to test positive in very unpredictable times. We're going to be talking about some showdown and then some player won't be available. So we're going to need a lot of flexibility. I think we're going to see teams maybe quarantine a quarterback. I think that makes a lot of sense. And this season will be beyond fascinating.
Let's look at our division for a second. Mike Tannenbaum is with us, NFL front office insider at ESPN now, former Dolphins GM. The AFC East, I feel, and I think Crowder does too, that the Dolphins have a legit shot. I don't know, you know, put Cam Newton in New England. You don't know if he's healthy. And like you were saying, he's never taken a snap in New England and for Bill Belichick. How does the AFC East break out to you?
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity. I think it's totally up for grabs right now. And you could certainly say that Ryan Fitzpatrick, just based on how those quarterbacks played last year, right now is the best quarterback in the division, again, with the big question mark in New England. And candidly, just as a fan of the sport, wouldn't you love to see, you know, Brian Flores, who played on coach under Coach Belichick for so many years, to see that defense go against what could be a totally different offense if in New England? And how do you prepare for it on opening day? Do you go back and look at Tim Tebow playing for Josh McDaniels in Denver? That's why I think this season is going to be so interesting. There is no tape. And we're seeing all these changes, and nobody knows what's going to happen until opening day. And I thought Coach Belichick made an interesting comment. We talked about, we're going to be like college football. College football has no preseason games. So I think the division's really up in the air. And to the extent that, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick plays close to what he did a year ago, obviously gives, you know, Miami a good advantage.
And talking about the AFC East, Mike, I got to ask you about Adam Gase. You were a part of the Dolphins when Adam Gase came in. You've been covering him, and he goes up and gets the New York job. He keeps getting head coach jobs. He has a problem with players, Mike. Jay Ajayi and him, Jay Ajayi's big year. He benched Jay Ajayi early in the season. Jamal Adams just came out and said he's not a good leader. He know he has a problem with Le'Veon Bell. Mike, can you kind of give us some insight on what, like, why Adam Gase is in the position he's in? Because it always looks like, from the outside looking in, that he's not ready to be a head coach of a 32 NFL team. It just doesn't look like it from a fan perspective.
Sure, and I can just go by my experience with him. You know, he did have he had challenges like every head coach does. You're not going to get along with everybody. But he had a lot of meaningful relationships, and players got better and developed under him. And, you know, when you look at what happened in New York, look, I'm not there every day. But I do know this, based on my experience, that when a player doesn't get what he wants economically, you know, things get noisy quickly. And certainly that seemed to be part of the factor with Jamal Adams. But again, kind of staying in the theme of the AFC East and quarterbacks, you know, it was clear to me, guys, that when he got that job in New York, that job was really being defined by Sam Darnold and his development. And obviously the Jet brain trust at the time felt that Adam Gase was the best man to maximize Sam Darnold's ability. And I think we'll know a lot more about that situation at the end of the year. And candidly, if the Jets go 7-9 and Sam Darnold throws for 40 touchdowns, people are going to probably feel differently than if, you know, they win 10 games and Sam Darnold's benched. So I think we'll know a lot more about Sam Darnold and Coach Gase in terms of his future there after the season.
Yeah, you talk about an interesting season that we're going to have coming up. So I just got a press release from the Dolphins. The Dolphins have just placed defensive tackle Raekwon Davis, defensive tackle Benito Jones, safety Brandon Jones, guard Solomon Kindley, defensive end Shaq Lawson, and wide receiver Kirk Merritt on the reserve COVID-19 list. So that's a lot of players. And again, I'll just reiterate for people that haven't heard, the list, the COVID-19 list, doesn't mean that the player has tested positive. It means that they may have come in contact with someone that has tested positive. But man, you are seeing a lot of names just there today from the Dolphins going on that list. Talk about a tough season, whether it's front office or coach. This is as tough a challenge as any front office or coach will ever see, right?
Yeah, and again, I think you just gave great context, which is those players didn't necessarily test positive. And if I was a Dolphin fan, obviously I'd be concerned by that release. But what I would say is it's only August 6th. And again, you'd rather have the bumps in the road now. You know, we just went through with the Miami Marlins, right, in terms of what they just went through. So we're going to see bumps in the road, and you want to get them ironed out, you know, be it for the team, for the NFL, now instead of down the road. I think the bigger challenge, candidly, is you can't have a bubble for these players. And that is, you know, to me, the most pragmatic challenge, which is the NBA is doing a great job, but because of their numbers, they should be and could be. What I'm concerned about is, you know, we're sitting here on October 1st, we have a good NFL season, and then some team loses three or four key players because of no other reason but that, you know, they went home. So there's still a long way to go here, and hopefully these players come back as quickly as possible.
Last one out of me, Mike. Does Antonio Brown get another shot? And if so, what's the best fit for Antonio Brown?
Absolutely. And he'll sign a one-year deal. And to me, Baltimore makes a ton of sense. Green Bay does. Seattle, a number of teams could use him. He's too talented. Obviously, you know, what he did was pretty serious. He has paid, you know, a significant price, missing almost all of last season, serving an additional 8-game suspension this year. But based on our league, based on his production, based on our history, he should and in all probability will get another opportunity this season.
Mike Tannenbaum, again, the front office insider for ESPN, former GM down here in Miami. Do you miss being a GM and all the fun social media fun that comes with it?
Look, I've had great opportunities in my career, be it with, you know, Miami, the Jets. Really enjoying my time now at ESPN. So I always just try to make the most of the opportunities that I've been privileged to be a part of. And now I get to be your guys' teammate. So, you know, that's great as well. So it's been a good transition.
Non-answer. That was a non-answer. Do you miss the that's got to be the worst part, right? People second-guessing you, everything you do at your job.
Well, you know, again, you know what you're signing up for. You know, you have to feel really confident about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And oftentimes you can't explain what you're doing because a lot of things just aren't for public consumption. And candidly, one of the things I really do enjoy about what I do now is I try to bring fans behind the curtain, either, you know, on ESPN TV, radio, on social, whatever it may be, just to say, like, you know, there's so many people out there that break news and do a great job of it. I try to fill the role of, like, well, why did this happen, or what was the team thinking, and at least present to the fans, like, what's going on behind the scenes.
You didn't ever want to just fire off an email, though, to a critical fan that sent you an email that the Dolphins just says, F you.
Hey, look, you know, like Coach Edwards had a great expression, you know, always think twice before you hit the send button. So, you know, I thought that was a great wisdom to live by.
That is. I got to lay off the text machine then here at work, because that's all I respond to people with. Hey, that segment sucked, or you're not funny on the radio. F you. All right, Mike Tannenbaum, I got to take his advice. I know. Mike Tannenbaum, current NFL front office insider at ESPN. Thank you for making time for us. Hope to talk to you during the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot for having me. Really appreciate it, guys.
There you go. Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN. That's got to be the worst part of the job, because you're a front office guy. It's sport to second guess sports front office people, right? I mean, everyone thinks they can do a better job than any front office person.
And, Hawk, you can't question LeBron trying to dunk because you can't dunk, but you feel like you can pick players in a draft. 100%.
You're 100% right. You're 100% right. The one guy that you can really go, I could do that job, is the front office guy. And so, yeah, it's got to be pretty thankless. When things are bad, when they're good, you're a hero. You remember, we always talk about it with Blake James, right? When Blake James signed Mark Richt, I mean, it was, this guy is a hero, and look, he got a great coach from the SEC, and it's the perfect signing. And then all of a sudden, they lose to FIU, and it's the worst time in the world to be Blake James in South Florida.
We kind of know about it now. People question our job too, Hawk. Let's be honest.
All day. Yeah. All day. Well, you know what? It's what you say is fair. Everyone thinks they can host a radio show. Everyone.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I hear these guys BS all day long. I could do that. I do that with my friends. And so, yeah, people always criticize what we do.
And when they say it, I say go. And they say what? I say start. Go. Entertain.
Yeah.
Huh? What do you want me to talk about? That's your job now. Go.
Right. Do you have a whole bunch of Antetokounmpo mispronunciations lined up? Because we do. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home.
Hawk and Crowder.
Here's what I find amazing. We're on 560 only today because the Heat game is on right now. Heat and Bucks, you can hear it on 790, the ticket. So we're doing the show. Obviously, Crowder and I are at our homes, but Solana is producing the show with Dan Day out of the 560 The Joe studios rather than the 790 studios where we normally do our show. And so half the day I hear from Solana, oh, we don't have that here. We don't have that in this studio. We don't have access to this. We don't have access to that. Somehow this wham rap crap made the transition over to 560.
Oh, yeah. This
out of all the things you could have packed for the trip over to 560, you packed this awful song?
Yeah, this is an essential, though. Like, this is the the first thing.
It's an essential, huh?
Yeah, the first thing I made sure to have ready for the show was wham rap.
All right.
You remember when you let your son pack when he was 8? He just... toy dinosaurs.
That's exactly right. Did you bring any underwear or a bathing suit? No. But I notice here that you have, you know, your entire Lego set. Is this really, are you understanding the concept of essentials? There's Solana putting wham rap in his carry-on bag.
We're letting our 8-year-old pack. We got to help him.
So I mentioned it when Mike Tannenbaum was on with us in the last segment. The Miami Dolphins, the press release, I didn't read all of it, but the Miami Dolphins have waived Javaris Davis. The team activated running back Malcolm Perry and defensive tackle Zach Sealer off the reserve COVID-19 list. But then the big news to me, the Dolphins placed defensive tackle Raekwon Davis, defensive tackle Benito Jones, safety Brandon Jones, guard Solomon Kindley, defensive end Shaq Lawson, and wide receiver Kirk Merritt on the reserve COVID-19 list. And again, that's a lot of players to put on that list. So now you start to think about the season, right? You start to think about, well, what if this was a Thursday before a game on Sunday? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you know, you can normally say if someone gets COVID, we're pretty certain they're not going to reacquire the virus, although there are instances of that. So you can't be 100% certain. But remember, being put on this list doesn't mean that you've had the virus. It means that, and the exact verbiage is, this new reserve list category was created for a player who either tests positive for COVID-19 or who has been quarantined after having been in close contact with an infected person or persons. If a player falls into either of those categories, the club is required to immediately place the player on the reserve COVID-19 list. Per agreed-upon NFLPA policy, clubs are not permitted to comment on a player's medical status other than referring to the roster status. Clubs may not disclose whether a player is in quarantine or is positive for COVID-19. So all these names, you know, you may say in your head, oh, well, that's good because they'll be available during the season. Well, not necessarily so. If they've only come in contact with someone who's tested positive for COVID and they haven't, I mean, they could end up on this list 7 times in a season. So and that's a little worrying to me.
That tracking, the COVID tracking, whatever that's called, that's what scares me, Hawk, because just think about this. That long list of names you just named, it's hypothetical. I have no insight on this. If one of those guys tested positive and he worked out 2 days ago with 6 guys, now all 7 of those guys have to be on that list,
right?
Because you were in contact with that guy. Think about this. Fitzy tests positive. Hey, Fitzy, where were you at yesterday? In the quarterback room. So now everybody in that quarterback room is now on the list, Hawk. This is this situation, and I don't know what happened with the Dolphins. I don't know why all these guys got on. But think about that. The tracking of it, where if one guy gets it, now he has to go back to the last 40 hours, 48 hours, whatever it is, 24
right.
hours. He is going to be in that facility, and he's going to be around teammates. I played in the league. You're not going 24 hours without being around teammates. Even on a day off, you're coming to work out. You're coming for treatment. You're going to be around teammates if you're on a football team during the season. If you test positive, there's going to be a number of guys that have to sit out now. It's scary.
Well, and then think about if you went and got some physical therapy or something, and then the trainer. Then now, who else have you been in contact with as the trainer? And then, I mean, you talk when you do that contact tracing, like you can now. I don't know what the protocols are though. So if the protocols are that the trainer is double masked and wearing a face shield and gloves, and the player, when he's receiving therapy, is also masked and blah, blah, blah. So it's not considered coming into contact because they were protected. Like, you know, again, I don't know exactly what the protocols are, but I do know that it's going to be a lot more difficult not being in a bubble because, again, if you pretend today is a Thursday before a game and you had that many people put on that list, you could see how games could be thrown into disarray. It just, and again, all I'm saying is it's harder to play a sports season outside of a bubble during the COVID era than it is inside of a bubble where, you know, the NBA, I'm watching the Heat game right now, by the way, where the NBA is having zero positive tests. And so you feel safe for everyone that's playing inside the bubble because there doesn't seem to be any virus in there to pass around.
Yes. And another thing, too, because we were talking to Tannenbaum, and he said that he was talking about Tre'Davious White. He was like, okay, well, now it's 4 o'clock. Tre'Davious, you know, he obviously is not opting out. He can still say, I'm not playing. He has to give up that $150,000. But to some guys, a lot of guys in the league, 150 grand is nothing. And to be honest, I just looked up Tre'Davious White's contract, Hawk. And this is a way people ask, could guys manipulate the opt out? If you opt out of the 2020 season, your 2020 contract moves to 2021. Tre'Davious White makes $3 million this year. You know what he makes next year, Hawk? 10.2. So why would I opt out to move my $3 million contract to 2021 and my $10 million contract to 2022? Right. Why wouldn't I just wait until camp starts, say I don't feel comfortable, give him that $3 million back, and then next season I'm up for my $10.2 million?
Right, like, you're netting positive $7 million.
Yes, in 2 years, you're netting $7 million. Like, because people have been asking me about, hey, are players ever going to try to take advantage of this?
Woo! I just Giannis found a just situation. Had a monster dunk. Oh, man. Did you see that, Solana? Man. You watching the game?
Yeah, you ignored the two turnovers in a row he had right before that.
He did have a terrible pass right before that, but Giannis just had a nice monster dunk.
Antetokounmpo. But guys, we're...
there was a monster dunk by...
Giannis Adetokounmpo.
No, we need Antetokounmpo too.
Antetokounmpo for three.
Quickly, I just told y'all players can take advantage of this opt-out. They can manipulate this opt-out. So people, yes, they can, yes.
Score right now, first quarter, Heat 11, Bucks 10. I think there's about 6-plus minutes left in the first quarter. They've just gone to timeout. We're going to bring out Doug Plagans in the next segment. I want to give the Florida Panthers a little bit of love because they won yesterday, and that means we get a game four tomorrow against the Islanders. That's a noon game, which will be on this radio station, 560 WQAM, The Joe. So we'll take a quick break. Doug Plagans, radio voice of the Florida Panthers. He's next on Hockman and Crowder.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back ribs.
Hawk and Crowder.
I got one eye on the Heat Bucks game right now, and I got two ears on Doug Plagans. Heat and Bucks tied 16-16 in the first quarter. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Doug Plagan, radio voice for the Florida Panthers. They stayed alive yesterday with a 3-2 win over the Islanders, which means there is a game four tomorrow at noon. You will hear that game right here on 560 The Joe. So, Doug, I'm guessing, you know, they're down 2-0, and it's the old one game at a time mantra. Is that what they did yesterday? They came out, they skated, we got to win this one, and then we'll worry about Friday when we get to Friday. Is that what we saw?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, and thanks very much for having me, guys. That's exactly what the situation was they found themselves in the 2-0 hole, and, at the same time, both the first two games, they were up for grabs. They were there for the taking, and the Panthers did a lot well in those first two games. And as you would expect in series against the New York Islanders and games against the New York Islanders, the games are often going to come down to one goal, one play here and there, and the Panthers just found themselves on the short end for the first two. But going into yesterday's game, you saw a lot of jump out of the Panthers right out of the gate, and then as the game went on, they were able to dictate the tempo more than in the first two games. They were able to get it going their way, and they also kept the penalties to a minimum. Didn't give the Islanders any extra opportunities. Everything was really solid across the board in that game. The Panthers were able to pull away there. They got that 2-goal lead. The Islanders made it close in the end, but you know you're always going to be in a close game when you play against the New York Islanders. But Nola Chari spoke to the media today and basically said that, you know, the team approached that game yesterday. You know, they knew they were down 2-0. They knew that they were in a hole in the series. But they had it in their minds that, you know, they're still a confident team, and they weren't ready to have the season come to a close yesterday. So they went out and took care of business and forced this thing to a game four tomorrow.
Did they change anything schematically, Doug? I know the defense looked better. You know hockey way better than I do. But did they change anything from game one and two to game three?
You know, honestly, execute their game plan more against the Islanders than in the first two. And I think a big reason for that, the Islanders spent too much time on the power play, especially in game number two, and they cashed in. They were able to take advantage of a couple of opportunities. The Panthers didn't give them those kind of opportunities yesterday, and they came out and were the better team from start to finish. And you know, that's the thing with all three games in the series. They've all been there for the taking. There hasn't been a runaway victor either way in any of these three games in the series. They all could have gone either way, and we all knew it was going to be tight from the start. But, you know, yesterday the Panthers were able to, as I said, they were just able to execute their game plan more so. And what that does, you have two teams that really have different areas of, different specialties, if you will. The Panthers this season, we all know the offense and the potential there, and they're among the highest scoring teams in the National Hockey League. The Islanders, on the other hand, they're not the type of team that's going to overpower you offensively. They don't rank in the top tier of teams in terms of goal scoring, but they'll clamp it down and they'll try and just play mistake-free hockey and wait for you to make a mistake, and they are totally fine trying to win a game 2-1 or 3-2. Now, the flip side of that, if the Panthers can get a lead and work with the lead like they did yesterday, you force a very conservative New York Islanders team out of their comfort zone, and all of a sudden they have to start trying to take risks in order to come back in the game, and they weren't able to do that. So the Panthers were able to really execute their plan to the fullest yesterday, and that's why they came out with the victory, and that's why we have a big game coming up tomorrow.
Bobrovsky has played well through the three games, too. That's got to be a huge relief for Coach Q, right? And I'm guessing Dale Tallon.
Well, he's been outstanding. You know, he's certainly given the team more than just a chance to win in all three games, and even in the losses in games one and two, you could point to saves Bobrovsky made that were the biggest saves made in the hockey game for either goaltender. So he's been absolutely outstanding, and he's drawn rave reviews from everybody across the board, from his teammates to head coach Joel Quenneville here in this series. So again, he's been great, and he just appears to be locked in, and that's certainly what you like to see.
And Doug, with no home ice, you know, with just this, we all know what's going on right now with sports. Like, does that change anything? Do you feel a difference when you come out, where one team would have a little more energy if they were at home early? When you're calling the game, do you feel a difference watching these games?
You know, I don't think you are going to notice too much in the way of a home ice advantage in terms of just the setting. I mean, everybody's in. For just about every team, unless you're the Maple Leafs or the Edmonton Oilers, you're playing in a neutral site. And even for those teams, I guess from what I understand yesterday, Edmonton and Chicago played, and I believe the Blackhawks used the Oilers' dressing room. So it was even in that situation, I don't even know if they feel too much of a home ice advantage. But what it does do is, you know, and tomorrow the Panthers will be the designated home team, with it being a 2-2-1 format in the best of five. The Islanders were the designated home team for the first two games. What it does do is, if you're the home team, you have the home coach has the ability to make the last change in terms of putting personnel onto the ice. So when you're at home, when you have the when you have that last change, it allows you to, you know, kind of get the guys out that you want against whatever group that's on the ice for the opponent. So having last change, that's a little bit of an advantage, and that is really the biggest home ice advantage that you might see in these games, because as we know, you don't have the you don't have that raucous crowd atmosphere behind you that you typically would in a playoff game, or you know, in some sort of do or die scenario. So that part's not there, but as far as personnel goes, the home coach does have a little bit of an advantage being able to exercise that last change.
Hey Solana, you like what you're seeing from Andre Iguodala out there the last minute and a half? Got that culture working. Andre Iguodala out of nowhere. Heat up 10 on the Bucks right now. Woo. Last 15 seconds in the first quarter. Doug Plagans, not only the radio voice for the Florida Panthers, but he is a food expert. Woo! Nice block by Giannis. Was that a foul? Yeah, it was a foul. He's a food expert, just like I am. And when I say we're food experts, it's not the, you know, five-star Michelin restaurants in New York. We're more of the In-N-Out Burger, Whataburger, Denny's Superbird style of food experts.
You know, Hawks, the first time I heard somebody reference Michelin for restaurants, I was wondering, I thought maybe the tire people also knew their food really well. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, Michelin, you immediately think tire. I don't know if you're a mac and cheese fan. I believe you are. I think we've had that conversation. You like mac and cheese?
It has to be really good mac and cheese, because usually it's not one. If I have, you know, like six or eight side item options in front of me, chances are I'm not going with mac and cheese.
But what about like a box of Kraft mac and cheese?
Not my thing.
Really? Wow, yeah, this is just shocking to me.
That might be one of our only areas where we differ, Hawk, because if it's a really good mac and cheese, if it's a signature item, I'm in. You know, a lot of barbecue places and stuff have really good mac and cheese. But if it's a signature mac and cheese, I'm in. If it's garden variety mac and cheese, you know, I'm more of a coleslaw guy, whatever a potato option might be.
Wow.
I'm not a big mashed potato guy either, which often raises some eyebrows. But
I can't believe you're not a Kraft mac and cheese guy, though, because I know you love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
He's a grown man.
No, that's
man.
Not true.
That's
the guy will eat three men. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch and then three more for dinner.
Hey, that has happened.
Yeah. I mean, the guy, I know what kind of foods that he likes, and mac and cheese, Kraft mac and cheese, happens to be a delicious style of mac and cheese.
You talking
but
about
I don't
the watery
know.
One? The
watery it's not watery if you don't put in too much milk. If you don't put in too much milk and butter, it's not watery. If you make it the right way, it's perfect. If you can't make it the right way, that's on you. I mean, but that's a whole other story.
11-year-olds.
No, a whole other story. No, you got to be able to follow the directions on the box. I mean, Kraft original mac and cheese in the box is fantastic. But I don't know if you saw the news yesterday, Doug. They are labeling their boxes now for breakfast. They want Kraft mac and cheese wants to sell macaroni and cheese as a breakfast item, because I don't know if you saw, fast food breakfasts are dying because people aren't going to work, and they want parents to feel comfortable making mac and cheese for their kids for breakfast. It's a warm breakfast. It's got cheese. I would imagine a box of Kraft mac and cheese is probably as healthy or unhealthy, however you want to phrase it, as one of those Wendy's, you know, breakfast Baconators. So how do you feel about mac and cheese, Kraft mac and cheese for breakfast?
I wouldn't go down that road. I need a little bit more protein in my breakfast. Need to, you know, that's where it would differ. I mean, I have had cold pizza for breakfast. I think we've all had that, and I don't think that's the worst thing ever. I don't like mac and cheese enough to reach for that first thing in the morning.
How about Cheetos? They've come out with a mac and cheese. I don't know if you saw this, but they've just released Cheetos mac and cheese. Yeah, and it's got the Flamin' Hot Cheetos flavor as one of the cheese packets. Now, could that intrigue you?
Really? I don't think so. I'm just not a mac and cheese aficionado.
Wow, what has happened here? You think you know a guy, Crowder.
The first food disconnection that we've had.
Is this y'all's first argument? Is this y'all's first relationship argument?
If I said to you, Crowder, that Doug Plagans doesn't like Kraft mac and cheese or mac and cheese in general, there's no way you'd believe me.
No, I think you're lying. Because y'all on the same page on most things. Yes, this what is about the first like, time I heard y'all.
What about like SpaghettiOs, a can of SpaghettiOs?
No. No way. Yeah, I don't think I've ever had one in my life, actually. For me, I like pasta on the side. I'm not a pasta main course guy.
But a can of SpaghettiOs in your entire life?
I don't think I've ever had that before. Or like Chef Boyardee or any of that. I don't think I've ever had that before. I know it's popular. I know it's common.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to do with this.
How do you feel about meals having an age limit? Like, I think that boxed mac and cheese is for 11 and under. Do you think there's an age limit on the SpaghettiOs or the boxed mac and cheese?
I don't think so. If you like something, you like something.
Screw you, Crowder.
There's things that I've been, you know, those, I tweeted this recently, but you know those Starkist tuna kits where they give you the tuna and the crackers and you mix it yourself?
Yeah.
I bet you since like 1995, I've probably eaten 2,500 of those things. In fact, I just had one today.
2,500 of them?
I eat them. I'd say I probably eat 5 of those a week, and that's been pretty consistent. One of my good friends actually said, I opened one recently, and he said, that's your official lunch of the last 20 years. I said, yeah, I know.
Wow, you've never had the can?
So there's never been an age expiration on that for me. I was eating those in 5th grade, and you know, as a 35-year-old, I'm still crushing them every single day.
Never had a can of like Chef Boyardee ravioli, the cheese or the beef ravioli?
Not the can kind, I don't think.
Wow. I mean, you gotta have it out of the can. That's when it tastes disgusting. Like, just right, though. Just right disgusting.
Doug, you eat hurricane food on a normal basis? What are you eating tuna and crackers for every day?
I love tuna. Like, I probably shouldn't eat it as much as I do.
But, Doug, you can make it good with, you can cut up the boiled eggs, you can cut up some onions, put some onion powder, garlic powder in there, mayonnaise, make it nice. Don't eat the little, don't eat the hurricane food.
That's a lot of assembly required.
We can agree, Doug, that there should be an age limit, though, on do-it-yourself cupcakes for dessert, right? If you're at a restaurant, they have do-it-yourself cupcakes. You wouldn't order that if you're an adult.
I was always the kid, if they gave you the option, you know, there'd be cake and ice cream at the birthday party or whatever, and I would tend to gravitate toward double ice cream if that was an option over cake.
But would you make do-it-yourself cupcakes at a restaurant if it was on a menu for dessert? You get to frost the cupcakes yourself.
Probably not. Just not at night.
Yeah, of course not.
I wouldn't go out of my way for cupcakes.
Yeah. And the whole concept is silly, frosting your own cupcakes.
No, I don't think so. If you like cupcakes, you could, you know.
It's a little silly, though. It's a little silly.
Uh-oh, Dr. Chuck.
Doug Plagans will be on the call tomorrow. Panthers and Islanders, game 4, must win again for the Florida Panthers. And it is a noon puck drop, which means 11:30 pregame right here on 560 WQAM The Joe. Have a good call tomorrow, and let's get that dub. And then if they win tomorrow, when would game 5 be?
Game 5 would be on Sunday, time to be determined.
Excellent. I need myself a Sunday game 5, man. I need it. So go get that dub tomorrow, Plagans.
We'll do it.
All right. Go have a tuna box, whatever you eat. Go have a tuna cracker.
I already had one today, but I wouldn't rule out a second one today.
All right. Fair enough. Doug Plagans, radio voice of the Florida Panthers. Panthers tomorrow. We got a break because we got the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour coming up next on Hockman and Crowder.